Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. A favorite female artist or band. Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Other Side of Glass. Ravens mandatory minicamp this week. One in the books. Another one this afternoon. Then one tomorrow morning. Lamar Jackson going to speak with the media this afternoon. So it's going to be good to hear from number 8, the reigning MVP of the NFL. And here to talk about what he has seen so far, looking forward to today, is our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, Shaking It Up Sports. You can hear him on this here radio station. You can see him out at One Winning Drive. See him at M&T. See him down at Camden Yards. He's Cordell Woodland. Cordell, good morning. What's happening?
What's going on, guys?
We're doing all right, dude. Appreciate your time as always. We were just talking about the O-line. Vinny is more optimistic about them not being bad than, say, was a month or so ago, and a lot of it's going to have to do with the health of Ronnie Stanley. Based on the players that are going to be part of the equation, with a couple moving on to other destinations, Cordell, 3 starters from last year to be exact, your angst for the offensive line is what, if you even have any concerns now?
I do still have concerns until we start to see, you know, what they're thinking in terms of the starting group. They're still mixing and matching right now, still trying to figure out the right group to put together. There are some groups that I like, and there are some that worry me a little bit. So it's clearly the right side. What are they going to do at right guard and right tackle for the most part? I do like Voorhees. Rosengarten, I'm coming around on. I've seen some good things from Rosengarten. At times you see some good things from guys like Ben Cleveland and Fa Lele and Salah, but the consistency from kind of those guys is still what I'm looking for right now. So John Harbaugh said yesterday, you know, he wants to figure out this offensive line situation as soon as possible, hopefully by the first couple of weeks of training camp. So that'll be ideal for them. So, you know, during this time, we'll get to see kind of what they're thinking.
Hey, Cordell, because basically the first week of training camp, they're still in shorts and everything. I mean, when Harb said that, I was shocked, because it's like, damn. The first thing that came to my mind, Cordell, was they have a pretty good idea who they're going with. Although he said, you know, I don't want to have to go into the games maybe at one position.
Right.
I think that Voorhees and Salah, I think they're pretty solid, and the competition's going to be at right tackle. That's my guess, because that's who started, you know, initially. And like you said, they're rotating around and all that. I've never been a Cleveland fan, Cordell. I mean, never. And I don't know if I ever could be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people that probably feel the same way when it comes to Big Cleveland. But, you know, he hasn't been flat out in his limited chances in game. He hasn't been flat out terrible. I mean, I have to acknowledge there have been times that Ben Cleveland has surprised me at times. Not to say that he doesn't have lowlights, because he does. But, yeah, I mean, in my mind, I think Voorhees is pretty much all but a sure in to start. I think Salah, I think, is definitely seems like he's a guy that they like, that they want to see probably take the job. I just don't know if he'll actually grasp the role, like if he'll actually snatch it. We've seen guards the last couple of years. We saw John Simpson do it. We saw Ben Powers do it, kind of just take the job. I don't know if Salah right now is going to take the job, and maybe he will, but I just would like to see him play a little more physical and a little more stronger considering his size. And tackle, I agree. I think Fa Lele is a guy that they're trying to give every opportunity to, but in the end, in my mind, I think Rosengarten will end up being the guy that's at right tackle.
And by the way, the only problem I have with Cleveland, I thought the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was a little bit overrated. Cordell Woodland joining us here. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. With the offense, Cordell, the changes, air quotes, that we might see. I know reading that you were there, Isaiah Likely and Andrews trying to coexist. We know, I think Henry's going to have a monster season, quite frankly. But offensive line aside, which we cannot understate is going to be important to them, but what kind of upside are you seeing with this offense from a scoring potential and maybe dominating some games potential with many weapons to choose from for number 8 there?
Yeah, they do have the weapons. I mean, there's no doubt about that. When you look at Isaiah Likely had a great day yesterday. I mean, there wasn't a ball that I think he didn't catch, and there was some where he made some spectacular leaping grabs on. He's going over top of people to get him. I mean, he looks really good. Mark Andrews looked yesterday was a great day for the tight ends. It got to the point to where it felt like only tight ends were catching the ball with the exception of guys like Zay Flowers catching a few early and Nelson Aguilar here and there. But I think when you talk about incorporating Derrick Henry, the run game, I really don't have a concern on. I just find it hard to believe that they're not going to put a ton of pressure on defensive coordinators and defensive fronts, really the front sevens. Everybody has to watch these guys, including the secondary, because if Lamar keeps it, I mean, we're talking about secondary guys being – probably the only fast guys on the field that could probably catch him at that time. So they're going to put a lot of pressure on guys to make sure they make the right decision in some of those RPOs and read option looks. But the tight ends, I think, are still going to be a problem in the middle of the field. And in Isaiah Likely's case, all over the field. He can just do so many things. I think he is really talented, and Mark Andrews is Mark Andrews. So we'll see how the receivers fit in. I still think Zay is going to be good. We'll see about Bateman. They talked him up a lot. Didn't get to see a lot of them yesterday, but we'll see with those guys. But no doubt about it, they have the weapons. That doesn't necessarily guarantee them anything. They still need to go out there and execute. And yesterday showed they have some things to clean up on the amongst themselves, but no doubt the talent's there.
Hey, Cordell, you know what I noticed yesterday? I mean, it just seemed to me like the tight ends were getting a lot of balls and they jumped out at me. Like Likely, he jumped out at me, and Andrews. It didn't seem like to me that Flowers and Bateman were as involved as much.
Yeah, I mean, Bateman, honestly, as it got to the back end of practice, I had noticed that I didn't see Bateman.
No, he was standing Bateman on the side with no helmet. He didn't even have his helmet.
Right. He didn't have his helmet and stuff. So I don't at one point he was out there. So I don't know, when he stopped. I wasn't able to figure that out. But yeah, like I said, they caught a few early, but other than that, it definitely got to a point to where it was just the tight ends and checkdowns to the running back. So we saw some of that last year early in camp as well. And it felt like as camp went on, they started to push the ball down the field more. So, and there were some over the middle intermediate passes as well to Nelson Aguilar in traffic. So they did that as well, but definitely for the most part, it was underneath to the running backs and tight ends.
Yeah. I caught one, drop one. That's Aguilar. Now, Cordell, the thing that I noticed, the best play that Bateman had was when he went one-on-one with Marlon Humphrey and he burned Marlon deep.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough to put a lot of stock into that. Marlon, is still working himself back. He didn't do really much anything in team sessions either. And John Harbaugh told us at the end of OTAs that, he's told the DBs not to go after the ball down the field. So you saw a lot of that. I mean, there were times TJ Tampa got the ball caught over him. And, he's not really looking to make a play. I think it's just all about positioning right now. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we didn't see a lot of Bateman yesterday. He looked good in that rep, but it's tough to kind of knock the DBs because we know they're not able to try much.
Cordell Woodland, our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan. Ravens day two of mandatory minicamp starting at 1:30 this afternoon. Cordell, always appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
See you in a couple hours, Cordell.
Yep, I'll see you guys. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Cordell. When we come back, it is the whip around. What's happening in the world of sports? We'll get into that and more. Stay tuned. And then Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio. Talk baseball with him. We're coming up on mid-June. Orioles and Yankees, big-time advantage in the American League East. What's happening out west, though, where only one team is above 500. 5880-1057 The Fan. Whip around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. NBA Finals, Game 3 tonight in Dallas as the Mavs are down 0-2 against the Celtics. A game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, by the way. Kristaps Porzingis, Vinny. What do they call it? A unique, rare leg injury suffered during Game 2. And he had played very well. Yeah. He was the key to that winning Game 1. Was playing well in Game 2. Now his status for tonight is up in the air, but it doesn't seem optimistic that he's going to hit the court Yeah. Now, keep in mind, they kind of rolled through the first three rounds without him.
Yep.
Playing against teams who also lost players due to injury. But, you know, you know he wants to put it up old Dallas's rear end. But if he can't go, he can't go. But there could be a long-term risk of significant injury for him. Not a doctor, but your wife is.
And, yeah. And I asked her about I read the story to her. And, Bob, she said that she has seen it one time in 15 years of her being a foot and ankle orthopedic surgeon. So it is extremely rare. So she said it's really painful, really painful. So if he plays, you know, I don't know if, you know, Toradol shots work for that kind of stuff too. I don't know. But like you said, the thing is the Celtics are used to playing without him, but they seem like they've played so much better. Like their rotation and stuff is works so much better with him in there.
Yeah, and they've been like even more balanced.
Yes.
They're not
five guys in double digits.
Yeah, not relying on Tatum and Brown to carry him, and you know, the zinger contributing to the cause. And Luka Doncic, he got a shot prior to game two because he had a thoracic issue. Because apparently he took an elbow to the chest. He's dealing with other leg issues himself. So Luka's coming in here banged up. And he needed, I believe, the shot to even get on the court in game two where he had a triple-double. But Dallas trying to stay alive because they lose tonight. They're done.
Yeah.
No team has ever come back from 0-3 to win a best of seven in the NBA. So they're finished.
I mean, Bob, NHL and NBA are exact same spots. The two teams that are down 0-2, they're going home. And if they don't win that game, both will be out quick.
So that game coming up tonight on The Fan, Dallas trying to stay alive, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, obviously, once we get the result. Vinny alluded to the Stanley Cup Finals, which resumes tomorrow out in Edmonton. And I guess unlike Boston and Dallas, everyone's relatively healthy in this series, except for the fact that Edmonton's only scored, one goal?
In each game. Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, because they got shut out the first one. Yeah. They're going home. They're going home. And actually, Edmonton should have won the first game. The series should be tied 1-1. And Florida dominated this last game. I would expect Edmonton to come out guns a-blazing Thursday night. I'd be shocked if Edmonton didn't win that game and score three or more goals.
Tonight?
Thursday night, yeah. I would think, night, Bob. Yeah, Bobrovsky was unbelievable game one. Game two, he didn't have a lot of shots. Gave up a goal on the first shot, which was a bad goal. So we'll see. I mean, if Bobrovsky's hot, that could keep the game close. If he's not, then I think Edmonton wins. I mean, I think Edmonton wins this one.
Now, since you're going to be gone for NFL lunch, which is coming up at 1 o'clock, Aaron Rodgers and Nolan and I were talking about it yesterday. No mini camp.
Yeah.
No mini camp for Yo, as he is attending an event that, as Robert Saleh said, is important to Aaron Rodgers. Robert Saleh didn't seem to think that was a big deal in regards to the event itself. The big deal is he should be there with his team, as he's going to get fined. This is, again, mandatory minicamp. So no Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know. This guy's been nothing but drama since he was traded. Well, the drama started when Green Bay drafted Jordan Love. Then he balled out, won two straight MVPs, but they fell short in the playoffs. But you know, some of his off-the-wall commentary, as viewed by some, relating to subjects here. But, we talked about it yesterday, too, Nolan and I. Hey, Lamar was getting roasted for not showing up to OTAs, which are voluntary.
Yep.
This guy's blowing off a mandatory thing, coming back from an injury which cost him all of the season for the most part.
Yeah. The only thing is, he was at every OTA and all those things. So, Bob, I mean, he didn't just come up to Saleh and say, hey, I'm not going to be there. Because whatever that he has that he's going to that's important to him, I'm guessing that's been planned for a while, too. So, if he's at everything and all the meetings and doing those things right now, instead of kind of throwing him under the bus, you come out early on. If you're the head coach and say that, you know, Aaron's going to be here at all the OTAs, but he has something that he has to be at during mandatory minicamp. I mean, if you want to protect him at all, I mean, especially with the New York media, because he's going to get, like you said, I mean, Lamar got roasted for missing two OTAs or missing, you know, $750,000.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers in New York, is it a bad look? Yeah, it is. It's a bad look. I mean, it's hard to win it in that one, but you put all your eggs in that basket. Don't throw them, you know, try to make it as easy as possible.
But, you know, nobody really knows why he's not there. An event that's special to him, and Sala was pissed. And I'm guessing a lot of his teammates don't know why he's not. Hassan Reddick's not there either.
Well, Hassan helped him out by not being there, too.
Yeah.
And he's getting fined, what is it, $16,000 the first day, $33,000 the second. And Bob, and he, you know, we talk about Lamar. Reddick didn't work out. His workout bonus was $250,000, and he didn't get his either. So, I mean, he's losing out on $350,000 by not doing this. I guess he wants a new contract.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's the Whip Around Woman Crush Wednesday coming up on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Baltimore Zone. Gervonta Tank Davis defends his WBA lightweight championship against undefeated Frank Martin. It's on Amazon Prime pay-per-view, so figure it out for yourself. Tank 29-0, 27 KOs. Martin's 18-0 and 12. So somebody's O has got to go on this date in sports history. December. Why do I keep saying December?
Oh, I'd love it.
I don't want it to be December. I haven't even gotten a tan yet. It's June 12th. Speaking of boxing, 1981 in Detroit, Larry Holmes TKO'd Leon Spinks to defend his WBC heavyweight championship. And I watched this game at my buddy Tommy Shiflett's house. I swear to God, not that I lie. There was this bar called Toller's on the corner of Ann and Golf Street. And I was 16. Tommy lived there on Golf right across the street from the liquor store. And I was like, I'm going to go get me a pack of smokes. I guess you smoke when you live in Upper Fells Point or East Baltimore at 16. So I go down to Toller's. Put the 50 cents in to get a pack of smokes, looked up at the TV, and Larry Holmes is working Leon in the fight. By the time I went down to get the smokes and came back, Leon Spinks had already been disposed of. But I remember that like it was yesterday, like this, 1984, 40 years ago, NBA Finals, Boston beats the Lakers, 111-102, to win in seven, one of the great NBA Finals of all time. Corbett Maxwell had 24 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. Larry Bird had 20 and 12. Kareem had 29. Larry Bird, MVP of that series, because he averaged 27 points. 14 started, the Bird Magic thing started in 79 when they were in college. Mm-hmm. Really started to escalate in the pros, and this was the first of three matchups they would have in the NBA. Orioles history, let's see, 1973, Memorial Stadium. Bobby Grich went deep, but Earl Williams hit a two-run walk-off homer off Doug Bird. Grant Jackson gets the win in relief of Jim Palmer, Orioles 6-4. A year later, 1974, at the old Metropolitan Stadium, Vinny. Don Baylor, 2-for-3, 2 ribbies. Paul Blair, Brooksy had ribbies. Mike Cuellar, complete game for his eighth win. Orioles 4-3 there. 2012, Nolan, you were alive. Oriole Park, Camden Yards against the Pirates. Reynolds, Jonesy, and Davis all went deep. Wei Yin Chen picked up the win. Jim Johnson, how about his 19th save of the year? We forget this guy was a beast for a couple years there. Then 2014, 10 years ago today, at the Oriole Park, Camden Yards venue, Delman Young, two-run shot. Nick Markakis, Caleb Joseph also had ribbies. Kevin Gausman got the win. Zach Britt the save. Orioles beat the Blue Jays 4-2. We'll come back, talk about current day baseball with Scott Miller from MLB Network Radio, and then a fun house trip with Nolan, and it's going to be fun today, trust me. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, playing the songs as you pick from your favorite female artist or band. Get your request. Plaza Support text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Orioles and the Atlanta Braves coming up 6:35. We'll go breaking that one down. Me, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles. brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, coming up at 5:30. Stay tuned for that. Then it's Philly coming to town, then off to the Bronx, taking on the Yankees. Here to talk about that and more from MLB Network Radio, let's welcome back to the show Scott Miller. Scott, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning. Not too bad for a Wednesday. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Appreciate your time, Scott, as always. And we look at the American League East in recent vintage. It's always been considered the toughest of all divisions in baseball. Some would say in their peak years, maybe the toughest division in all of sports. Yeah, the Orioles stunk for a while there in recent vintage. But right now it's New York. It's Baltimore. They're 10 games plus above the rest of the pack. How surprised are you that it's been a dominant Oriole? Now, a lot of baseball left to be played, but what we're seeing now, Scott, is this going to be the way it is throughout the rest of this season here, barring the unforeseen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Orioles and Yankees are just so good. Yes, I am surprised. You know, Tampa Bay in recent years obviously has shown a lot. Toronto, as we know, looks like on paper, like they're stacked. You know, I going into the season, you kind of dismissed Boston. They played well early in the year and kind of surprised people. But, you know, the big thing, I thought Boston would drop out. I thought Tampa Bay would be better than they are. I thought Toronto would be better than they are. I mean, instead, you know, the talk in Toronto is, are they going to be sellers? You know, are they going to, you know, just have to break that team up and trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and, you know, maybe Bo Bichette and just start over, which would be a huge blow to the Blue Jays, because you know that team you would have expected a little bit more out of the past 3 or 4 years, but you know every year they just seem to disappoint, and this year might be their biggest disappointment. You know, in Tampa Bay, sometimes you know it takes them a little bit to get going, but they haven't been able to yet. And you know, to the Yankees' credit and to the Orioles' credit, you know they put some distance between everybody else.
Now, Scott, as we look at the other divisions, granted it's only June 12th and the wild card's got 50 teams still looking at possible postseason fun, but at least in regards to division supremacy, outside of the East, where New York's 2.5 up on Baltimore, Cleveland's 5.5 up, Seattle's 6.5, Philly's 10 up, Milwaukee's 6.5, Dodgers are 7.5 up. Where's our pennant races coming from here, at least from a division championship standpoint?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's that's one of the unfortunate things, byproducts of expanding the playoffs as baseball has in the last few years. You know, now that almost half of each league makes it, 6 teams out of 15, and with only with 3 divisions, unlike 2, there's not much. There's not much, I'm blanking on the word, evenness, competitiveness beyond, you know, you've got your kind of guys, like you just said, teams at the top of the divisions, like the Dodgers and, you know, the Brewers and the, you know, the Phillies, and then you've got everybody else. I mean, in the National League, you know, you've only got, 5 teams now over 500, now that the Padres just nudged over the other day. But, I mean, over the weekend, the National League only had 4 teams over 500, and you know you looked at it and you're like, oh my gosh, you know that's not a banner year for the National League. But I don't know in terms of the pennant races. I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, as we've seen in some past years, I think we're going to see the pennant race excitement, such as it is. You can't even call pennant race; it'll be the wild card chase. There'll be a scrum of teams battling for the card slots. And I mean, you know, I'm based out in Southern California, and I'm based, you know, I see a lot of the National League West, and I mean the talk, especially in Los Angeles, is just, you know, the Dodgers, they had the big series against the Yankees over the weekend, right? And everybody was talking about, oh, this could be a World Series preview. And you know, the Dodgers basically are carrying themselves like they've already got the division won, or for sure they've got a place in October. I mean, you know, as early as April or May, the Dodgers are pretty much just planning on what they do, strategize the 6-month season to make sure they have the best shot once they get to October. You know, they save some pitching, you know, put some pitchers on the injured list to give them some rests with phantom injuries. And I mean, that's kind of the way it is. The Dodgers, like I say, in the National League West, I think, you know, that's a foregone conclusion. They're going to win that division. And, you know, like we just talked about, Yankees, Orioles, that could be the foot race down the stretch, to your point on the pennant races. I mean, I think the Orioles and Yankees, if the Yankees stay healthy, we've seen that act before, by the way. And that's the big reason the Yankees are off such a good start. One big reason is, you know, Judge and Stanton, they hit back-to-back homers last night. They're in the lineup. They're fourth. Soto's been a great addition. You know, that could be I think Orioles-Yankees might be the best race down the stretch for first place. You know, Guardians continue to surprise people. You know, after Terry Francona left, people thought that Cleveland would be in a rebuild mode. And, you know, that division's been better than I thought. Kansas City maybe could keep in position to make a run. Twins have been inconsistent. Hard to believe in the Mariners out in the American League West, but, you know, we'll see. But anyway, yeah, without blaring it anymore, to answer your question, yeah, I miss the old pennant races because, you know, when you're racing for first place, that's a lot different than when you're racing, you know, there's four teams lining up in September to try to pick off the second or third wild card slot.
Hey, Scott, if you're Mike Elias at the trade deadline, what are you looking to get? Because we've had people say starting pitching. We've had people say relievers. We have people say center, an outfielder. What do you think it's going to take for the Orioles to get over the hump?
You know, it's always all about pitching. I mean, the game's been about pitching for more than 100 years, and it still is. And we see that every October. You know, I mean, how often do you see the home run races during the year? And, you know, not to knock Aaron Judge, but, you know, he'll hit the home runs during the season. But, you know, in October, you're facing better pitching, and that's what comes to the forefront. And, you know, Judge has struggled some in previous Octobers. And I just use him as kind of an example. Other home run hitters have, too. I mean, certainly back in the day, Barry Bonds had trouble in October. You're not in October facing the other, you're not facing, you know, the pitching staffs of you know, the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins, or the Chicago White Sox. I mean, it's all about pitching in October. So I that's why I think with the Orioles, I think, you know, Mike Elias, the best thing to do is, you know, parallel paths, you know, in trade talks, target starting pitchers, target bullpen. You know, I always like starting pitchers to beef up the rotation, but, you know, the fallback is always bullpen because you can never have enough arms down there in October. So it's all about pitching. For me, pitching, pitching, pitching.
Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Scott, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks. Certainly talk to you before the trade deadline here.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Scott.
Thank you.
You got it. Scott Miller, everybody. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Dolan McGraw, news from the Nest. Talk some Ravens. Hear from some participants in yesterday's mandatory minicamp. Buy or sell, 12:15. Let's count that midweek money. And talk Orioles Braves with Jim Hunter, our colleague here on BBT.
That was fun.
5880-1057, The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. 5880-1057, The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Playing the songs as you pick from your favorite female artist or band. Get your request. Plaza Support text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Orioles and the Atlanta Braves coming up 6:35. We'll go breaking that one down. Me, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts coming up at 5:30. Stay tuned for that. Then it's Philly coming to town, then off to the Bronx. Taking on the Yankees, here to talk about that and more. From MLB Network Radio, let's welcome back to the show Scott Miller. Scott, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning. Not too bad for a Wednesday. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Appreciate your time, Scott, as always. And we look at the American League East in recent vintage. It's always been considered the toughest of all divisions in baseball. Some would say in their peak years, maybe the toughest division in all of sports. Yeah, the Orioles stunk for a while there in recent vintage. But right now it's New York, it's Baltimore. They're 10 games plus above the rest of the pack. How surprised are you that it's been a dominant Oriole? Now, a lot of baseball left to be played, but what we're seeing now, Scott, is this going to be the way it is throughout the rest of this season here, barring the unforeseen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Orioles and Yankees are just so good. Yes, I am surprised. You know, Tampa Bay in recent years obviously has shown a lot. Toronto, as we know, looks like on paper, like they're stacked. You know, going into the season, you kind of dismissed Boston. They played well early in the year and kind of surprised people. But, you know, the big thing, I thought Boston would drop out. I thought Tampa Bay would be better than they are. I thought Toronto would be better than they are. I mean, instead, you know, the talk in Toronto is, are they going to be sellers? You know, are they going to, you know, just have to break that team up and trade Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and, you know, maybe Bo Bichette and just start over, which would be a huge blow to the Blue Jays because, you know, that team you would have expected a little bit more out of the past 3 or 4 years. But, you know, every year they just seem to disappoint. And this year might be their biggest disappointment. You know, in Tampa Bay, sometimes, you know, it takes them a little bit to get going, but they haven't been able to yet. And, you know, to the Yankees' credit and to the Orioles' credit, you know, they put some distance between everybody else.
Now, Scott, as we look at the other divisions, granted, it's only June 12th and the wild card's got 50 teams still looking at possible postseason fun. But at least in regards to division supremacy, outside of the East, where New York's 2.5 up on Baltimore, Cleveland's 5.5 up, Seattle's 6.5, Philly's 10 up, Milwaukee's 6.5, Dodgers are 7.5 up. Where's our pennant races coming from here, at least from a division championship standpoint?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's that's one of the unfortunate things, byproducts of expanding the playoffs as baseball has in the last few years. You know, now that almost half of each league makes it, 6 teams out of 15, and with only, you know, with 3 divisions, unlike 2, there's not much. There's not much, I'm blanking on the word, evenness, competitiveness beyond, you know, you've got your kind of guys, like you just said, the teams at the top of the divisions, like the Dodgers and, you know, the Brewers and the, you know, the Phillies, and then you've got everybody else. I mean, in the National League, you know, you've only got, well, 5 teams now over 500, now that the Padres just nudged over the other day. But, I mean, over the weekend, the National League only had 4 teams over 500, and you know, you looked at it and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, that's not a banner year for the National League. But I don't know, in terms of the pennant races, I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, as we've seen in some past years, I think we're going to see the pennant race excitement, such as it is. You can't even call pennant race; it'll be the wild card chase. You know, there'll be a scrum of teams battling for the card slots. And I mean, you know, I'm based out in Southern California, and I'm based, you know, I see a lot of the National League West, and I mean, the talk, especially in Los Angeles, is just, you know, the Dodgers, they had the big series against the Yankees over the weekend, right? And everybody was talking about, oh, this could be a World Series preview. And you know, the Dodgers basically are carrying themselves like they've already got the division one, or for sure they've got a place in October. I mean, you know, as early as April or May, the Dodgers are pretty much just planning on what they do, strategize the 6-month season to make sure they have the best shot once they get to October. You know, they save some pitching, you know, put some pitchers on the injured list to give them some rests with phantom injuries. And, I mean, that's kind of the way it is. The Dodgers, like I say, the National League West, I think, you know, that's a foregone conclusion. They're going to win that division. And, you know, like we just talked about, Yankees, Orioles, that could be the foot race down the stretch, to your point on the pennant races. I mean, I think that Orioles and Yankees, if the Yankees stay healthy, we've seen that act before, by the way. And that's the big reason the Yankees are off such a good start. One big reason is, you know, Judge and Stanton, they hit back-to-back homers last night. They're in the lineup. They're a force. Soto's been a great addition. You know, that could be I think Orioles-Yankees might be the best race down the stretch for first place. You know, Guardians continue to surprise people you know, after Terry Francona left, people thought that Cleveland would be in a rebuild mode. And, yeah, division's been better than I thought. Kansas City maybe could keep in position to make a run. Twins have been inconsistent. Hard to believe in the Mariners out in the American League West, but, you know, we'll see. But anyway, yeah, without blabbering anymore, to answer your question, yeah, I miss the old pennant races because, you know, when you're racing for first place, that's a lot different than when you're racing. You know, there's four teams lining up in September to try to pick off the second or third wild card slot.
Hey, Scott, if you're Mike Elias at the trade deadline, what are you looking to get? Because we've had people say starting pitching. We've had people say relievers. We have people say center, an outfielder. What do you think it's going to take for the Orioles to get over the hump?
You know, it's always all about pitching. I mean, the game's been about pitching for more than 100 years, and it still is. And we see that every October. You know, I mean, how often do you see the home run races during the year? And, you know, not to knock Aaron Judge, but, you know, he'll hit the home runs during the season. But, you know, in October, you're facing better pitching, and that's what comes to the forefront. And, you know, Judge has struggled some in previous Octobers. And I just use him as kind of an example. Other home run hitters have, too. I mean, certainly back in the day, Barry Bonds had trouble in October. You're not in October facing the other – you're not facing, you know, the pitching staffs of you know, the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins, or the Chicago White Sox. I mean, it's all about pitching in October. So I that's why I think with the Orioles, I think, you know, Mike Elias, the best thing to do is, you know, parallel paths, you know, in trade talks, target starting pitchers, target bullpen. You know, I always like starting pitchers to beef up the rotation, but you know, the fallback is always bullpen because you can never have enough arms down there in October. So it's all about pitching for me. Pitching.
Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Scott, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks. Certainly talk to you before the trade deadline here.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Scott.
Thank you.
You got it. Scott Miller, everybody. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Dolan McGraw, news from the Nest. Talk some Ravens. Hear from some participants in yesterday's mandatory minicamp. Buy or sell, 12:15. Let's count that midweek money. And talk Orioles Braves with Jim Hunter, our colleague here on BBT.
That was fun.
5880-1057 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear more from Ronnie Stanley. Going to hear from John Harbaugh. Going to hear from Derrick Henry. His role in this Todd Monken offense will be what? Lamar Jackson going to talk to the media later on today. Orioles taking on the Braves. Game two of this three-game series. Tomorrow's a day game. Going to be a beautiful night, by the way, in downtown Baltimore. I'm looking at the weather, trying to get an advance on that. 82 degrees and sunny. 0% chance of precip, 6:35. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Yours truly, Ryan Ripken, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Pickles making it happen. Nolan's going to be there. Inside Access is going to be there at 2. So it's going to be a big old 105.7 The Fan representation as the Orioles and Braves get it on. For another one, Kate Povich makes his second start for the Orioles here. And let's see, Spencer Schwellenbach. Another youngster, 0-2 with an 8-plus earned run average, but he throws high 90s. He's one of their more valued prospects. They've had a ton of injuries, the Braves had. But Kate Povich, Schwellenbach, this should be something to watch at downtown Baltimore Oriole Park Camden Yards. But if you're going to the game, stop by, say hello. And as always, stress. And some of you don't seem to be listening. Don't come empty-handed if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Let's bring Nolan in.
Oh, Friday night, Bob, they won't come empty-handed. They'll be throwing stuff at you, Philly fans.
Well, I got Mike Bordick and Ryan Ripken there to catch everything.
Bringing the Duracell.
Yeah, come on. I could use a D battery. Anyway, Nolan, what's happening?
Well, you've been neglecting far this show to talk about the real sports news of the day. I don't know how you missed this. Joey Chestnut.
Oh.
And the hot dog eating contest. He's banned. He's banned from the 4th of July contest.
How do you eat a if you're eating a hot dog, how do you eat a vegan hot dog, Bob? I mean, a hot dog, you want a hot dog.
Well, how do you eat one that's not a Nathan's hot dog, right, which, of course, is the sponsor of the hot dog eating contest? So I get it from both sides, but if you're endorsing a product and you've made your name in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest and you're going to eat something out of plants, whatever.
How could a plant hot taste like a
Nathan's? And I defy. Now, I've never eaten one, but I guarantee you.
Would you ever try one?
I would try one just so I could spit it out and say, and then again, it might be delicious. I don't know. I don't want to make any judgments, but it ain't going to taste like a hot dog.
Still,
it won't. It's not a hot dog. It's grass mixed in with some other stuff.
I love this
that
quote
that horses
here.
Eat. Yes.
Major League Eating, their event organizer, Shea, his quote here is perfect. Says, it would be like Michael Jordan saying to Nike, I'm going to represent Adidas, too. So that's what they're equating it to here.
That's what MLE is saying.
Major League Eating.
Did you even know they had a Major League Eating?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? I didn't
know.
Well,
you know, when they introduce all the guys for the hot dog eating contest, they come out, they say, oh, this guy from, you know, this state, he's the hard-boiled egg champion, or he's the cereal champion. He ate, you know, 10 cloves of garlic in a minute or something crazy. I mean, every guy's got some weird thing that they eat.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't know there was a sanctioned
I didn't either.
League for competitive eating. And in my younger days, I could probably eat 3 hot dogs. I can eat 2 now. Sauerkraut, mustard.
I went one time, Bob.
Chili, cheese.
With my dad and my uncle. We were in East Harlem because they said that the best Sabret hot dogs were on like 116th Street. So we walked down to 116th. Wasn't the greatest name. I think I ate 7.
7 hot dogs?
Yeah. With the red onions on them and some spicy brown mustard.
I don't think I could do that even in my God's grass days, if you know what I'm saying. Eat 7. I housed a whole box of Chewy Chips Ahoy, though. And this is when I weighed like 160 pounds, not the fat load that
I'm with
now.
You. I'm with you.
When me and nature, if you know what I'm saying, we're getting together, I could eat some grub. But then again, it was after I was probably playing 4 hours worth of basketball and softball and all that good stuff. But anyway, Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse.
Chewy Chips Ahoy, man. Bring them on.
Oreos, this tuneous text reader. This side of the Chesapeake.
I pour the milk on my hand. I'd be so excited.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here. Texter says, why so hesitant to proclaim Austin Hayes is back? He's batting over .340 since his return from the IL a month ago. Been one of the team's most consistent bats in that time.
Well, let's see him do it for 2 months. Let's get greedy. Or 6 weeks. Keep in mind, he's not starting every day. He's just coming back from missing a couple as well. Is he back to all-star form? I'm not going there yet.
No.
I mean, he's reminiscent of it, but is he back? Nah. Let's pump the brakes on that. I know a lot of you want to get rid of Cedric Mullins permanently. Let's not put Austin Hayes in the All-Star lineup just yet. Hope he is. Hopefully. We'll see if you... Hey, the lineup will tell the story tonight against a right-hander.
Hey, Norm, we did get a hazy last night, though.
A hazy?
From
Hyde?
Yeah.
Oh, that means he's playing well when the nicknames come
out. Oh, yeah. Nicknames.
Georgie and Hazy both out last night. This one here, Texter says, Danny Coulomb's injury shows just how much the Orioles need to make multiple pitching trades. This team will not be at full health at any point between now and whenever their season ends. A starter addition could push arms like Suarez and Irvin to the pen, where help is also needed.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. Every team's going to deal with injuries. The Phillies just lost their catcher. Seattle just lost one of the big bats in their lineup. Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown a pitch yet. For the Yankees, Juan Soto just missed a few games. But yes, bring in a starter, then you can reassign things. Because Suarez, he's been a find, absolutely, but maybe in a seventh inning role could be even more diabolical to the opposition here.
One last one here on the Orioles bullpen. This texter says, I'm already preparing myself for Brian Baker being used in a high-leverage situation. His major league stats always look okay on the surface, but anyone who's watched him pitch the last few years knows how volatile he is.
Yeah, and he pitched well in 2022. Let's give him a little credit for that. But he did get rocked in the playoffs last year. He was getting rocked at Norfolk until a recent surge of success. He throws really, really hard, which helps the cause. But I'm having a hard time, at least now, complaining about a bullpen who in the last 40 innings plus has an earned run average of below one. I mean, are we really nitpicking that much for a team that is just on fire?
You got to look for anything. Hey,
I know you're leading the league in runs scored and home runs since June, and I know your bullpen's been lights out. You've been winning every game by multiple runs. But, boy, I just don't see us winning the World Series. Well, we come back. News from the Nest. Talks of Ravens. Then it's buy or sell. Jim Hunter talking about said Orioles. And then Vinny's off to one winning drive for mandatory minicamp. That was fun. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Going to hear more from Ronnie Stanley. Going to hear from John Harbaugh. Going to hear from Derrick Henry. His role in this Todd Monken offense will be what? Lamar Jackson going to talk to the media later on today. Orioles taking on the Braves. Game two of this three-game series. Tomorrow's a day game. Going to be a beautiful night, by the way, in downtown Baltimore. I'm looking at the weather, trying to get an advance on that. 82 degrees and sunny. 0% chance of precip. 6:35 Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Yours truly, Ryan Ripken, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Pickles making it happen. Nolan's going to be there. Inside Access is going to be there at 2. So it's going to be a big old 105.7 The Fan representation as the Orioles and Braves get it on. For another one, Cade Povich makes his second start for the Orioles here. And let's see. Spencer Schwellenbach, another youngster, 0-2 with an 8 plus earned run average, but he throws high 90s. He's one of their more valued prospects. They've had a ton of injuries. The Braves had, but Cade Povich, Schwellenbach, this should be something to watch at downtown Baltimore Oriole Park Camden Yards. But if you're going to the game, stop by, say hello, and as always, stress. And some of you don't seem to be listening. Don't come empty-handed if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Let's bring Nolan in.
Or Friday night, Bob, they won't come empty-handed. They'll be throwing stuff at you. Philly fans.
Well, I got Mike Bordick and Ryan Ripken there to catch everything.
Bringing the Duracell.
Come on. I could use a D battery. Anyway, Nolan, what's happening?
Well, you've been neglecting far the show to talk about the real sports news of the day. I don't know how you missed this. Joey Chestnut.
Oh.
And the hot dog eating contest. He's banned. He's banned from the 4th of July contest.
How do you eat if you're eating a hot dog, how do you eat a vegan hot dog, Bob? The hot dog, you want a hot dog.
Well, how do you eat one that's not a Nathan's hot dog, which, of course, is the sponsor of the hot dog eating contest? So I get it from both sides, but if you're endorsing a product and you've made your name in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, and you're going to eat something out of plants. Whatever.
How could a plant hot taste like a
Nathan's? And I defy. Now, I've never eaten one, but I guarantee you.
Would you ever try one?
I would try one just so I could spit it out and say, and then again, it might be delicious. I don't know. I don't want to make any judgments, but it ain't going to taste like a hot dog. It's not a hot dog. It's grass mixed in with some other stuff.
I love this
that
quote
that horses
here.
Eat. Yes.
Major League Eating, their event organizer, Shea, his quote here is perfect. Says, it would be like Michael Jordan saying to Nike, I'm going to represent Adidas too. So that's what they're equating it to here.
That's what MLE is saying.
Major League Eating.
Did you even know they had a Major League Eating?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? I didn't
know.
Well,
you know when they introduce all the guys for the hot dog eating contest, they come out, they say, oh, this guy from, this state, he's the hard-boiled egg champion, or he's the cereal champion. He ate you know, 10 cloves of garlic in a minute or something crazy. I mean, every guy's got some weird thing that they eat.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't know there was a sanctioned
I didn't either.
League for competitive eating. And in my younger days, I could probably eat 3 hot dogs. I can eat 2 now. Sauerkraut, mustard.
I went one time, Bob.
Maybe
I mean,
chili, cheese.
With my dad and my uncle.
We
were in East Harlem because they said that the best Sabrette hot dogs were on like 116th Street. So we walked down to 116th. Wasn't the greatest name. I think I ate 7.
7 hot dogs?
Yeah. With the red onions on them and some spicy brown mustard.
I don't think I could do that even in my God's grass days, if you know what I'm saying. Eat 7. I housed a whole box of Chewy Chips Ahoy, though. And this is when I weighed like 160 pounds, not the fat load that
I'm with
now.
You. I'm with you.
When me and nature, if you know what I'm saying, we're getting together, I could eat some grub. But then again, it was after I was probably playing 4 hours worth of basketball and softball and all that good stuff. But anyway, fun house.
Quick draws, fun house.
Chewy Chips Ahoy, man. Bring them on.
Oreos, this tunis text reader.
Dip them in milk. Got alive.
This side of the Chesapeake.
I pour the milk on my hand. I'd be so excited.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here. Texter says, why so hesitant to proclaim Austin Hayes is back? He's batting over 340 since his return from the IL a month ago. Been one of the team's most consistent bats in that time.
Well, let's see him do it for 2 months. Let's get greedy. Or 6 weeks. Keep in mind, he's not starting every day. He's just coming back from missing a couple as well. Is he back to all-star form? I'm not going there yet.
No.
I mean, he's reminiscent of it, but is he back? Nah. Let's pump the brakes on that. I know a lot of you want to get rid of Cedric Mullins permanently. Let's not put Austin Hayes in the all-star lineup just yet. Hope he is. Hopefully. We'll see if you. Hey, the lineup will tell the story tonight against a right-hander.
Hey, Norm, we did get a hazy last night, though.
A hazy?
From
Hyde?
Yeah.
Oh, that means he's playing well when the nicknames come
out. Oh, yeah. Nicknames.
Georgie and Hazy both out last night. This one here, Texter says, Danny Coulomb's injury shows just how much the Orioles need to make multiple pitching trades. This team will not be at full health at any point between now and whenever their season ends. A starter addition could push arms like Suarez and Irvin to the pen where help is also needed.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. Every team's going to deal with injuries. The Phillies just lost their catcher. Seattle just lost one of the big bats in their lineup. Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown a pitch yet. For the Yankees, Juan Soto just missed a few games. But yes, bring in a starter, then you can reassign things. Because Suarez, he's been a find, absolutely, but maybe in a 7th inning role could be even more diabolical to the opposition here.
One last one here on the Orioles bullpen. This texter says, I'm already preparing myself for Brian Baker being used in a high-leverage situation. His major league stats always look okay on the surface, but anyone who's watched him pitch the last few years knows how volatile he is.
Yeah, and he pitched well in 2022. Let's give him a little credit for that. But he did get rocked in the playoffs last year. He was getting rocked at Norfolk until a recent surge of success. He throws really, really hard, which helps the cause. But I'm having a hard time, at least now, complaining about a bullpen who in the last 40 innings plus has an earned run average of below 1. I mean, are we really nitpicking that much for a team that is just on fire?
You got to look for anything.
Hey, I know you're leading the league in runs scored and home runs since June, and I know your bullpen's been lights out. You've been winning every game by multiple runs. But, boy, I just don't see us winning the World Series. Well, we come back. News from the Nest. Talks of Ravens. Then it's buy or sell. Jim Hunter talking about said Orioles. And then he's off to one winning drive for mandatory minicamp.